Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the ServiceMaster by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas, online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins, columnist of the Daily Memphian and host of the Jeff Calkins Show, joins via the phone line now. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how is your day going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Now let's go ahead and hop into it. Ja Morant. We learned about. Honestly, we sort of had an understanding that he was off, not with the team, probably seeking help. But we finally get the understanding that he is. Entering a counseling program in Florida, and there's going to be no timetable. And I sort of want to start on the Taylor Jenkins front. I think a lot of people are frustrated with his answers and pressers about Ja Morant. I mean, where do you stand on that? It feels like his hands are kind of tied in this situation.
I'm just not frustrated at all. I don't think, particularly given that what we're dealing with here is a 23-year-old player who's trying to figure things out in life. It's in the end, and we can tell this from the beginning, like it's just from the language that they used, to find better ways to deal with stress and process and whatever else. If folks hadn't already realized in their minds that he was in some sort of a therapeutic counseling process, I don't think they were paying attention. So, and then beyond that, I don't think that if that is true and it's a legitimate therapeutic process or counseling, I don't think there is a timetable. I don't think they know the timetable. And so I don't even think it's that his hands are tied by the facts, and that I don't think, I know people, lots of people, a fair number of people, but by the time you get to my age, I know lots of people who've gone to rehab, and none of them are like, okay, I'm going to Wednesday and I'll be back next Wednesday and I'll be good to go. That's not how it works. Like, I've had people who've thought, like, I've known people who've thought, like, okay, I'm just going to, and they get there and they're like, no, you're going to be here for a month and then we'll reevaluate. Like, we'll see where you are. And I think that's the plan or something. So I don't, and plus it's a medical, deal. It's pretty sensitive because it has to do with mental health.
Right. And that's so, where they've been wondering why Taylor Jenkins can't say that.
The only question is, he's kind of hinted at it,
Yeah, but it feels like it's not his place to disclose the information about a rehab facility.
I don't think it's him, Jeff, to say he went to rehab.
Exactly. Right.
When people go to rehab, they say it's up to them if they want to say they went to rehab. And so, the only mysterious things about the messaging around this have been, why did we get the 4 more game update? To me, that was the mysterious one. Like, what are they targeting the San Antonio game as his return? Why not after you just, the first time they said 2 games, and then it was at least 4 more games. And that means we're going to get, if he doesn't come back for that 4th game, we're going to get another update. It's going to say at least 3, whatever it is. Like, that was a little mysterious to me. And then the other thing that was mysterious to me was just someone obviously leaked to Woj or to other folks, okay, well, now we're going to say he's in counseling. You can put that out.
Right.
That he's in counseling. So why? What was the timing of that last night? Because I don't think the implication was he went to counseling last night.
I think in the Athletic it said a week ago.
Yeah. So what was the motivation to say that yesterday? And I don't really. I mean, because it's funny. Like that's not communication from the Grizzlies. Formally communication from the Grizzlies. It's not a statement from the Grizzlies. But when it's Woj, it might as well be. So. So why they Grizzlies essentially decided to put out, you know, the counseling thing or whatever. I don't really know why they did that last night. But, you know, to me, what's interesting to me now is that you get this. Nothing's changed from what when we last heard from Taylor Jenkins saying,
right,
there's no timetable. He's going to have to. He has to embrace the process, feel ready to come back, and then he's going to have some steps he has to go through. But because of the news drop last night that he was in counseling, we now hear, like Mark Spears was saying, I don't think he's going to come back all year. Like, but Mark may well have been hearing that, like from someone. But so now there's sort of this fresh round of speculation about what this could mean and when could it be and everything else. But the truth of the matter is that in the end, whether we know today, I don't even think he knows. I don't think they know exactly when he's coming
back.
I don't think he probably knows when he's coming back. I don't think he probably should know if he's taking the process seriously when he is coming back. And so I'm willing to just take a deep breath, let him watch, revel in the fact that Roddy is tearing up the Mavs, that the Grizzlies are holding on to their second seed, at least for the moment, and let him come back when he comes back. And I'm actually not frustrated at all by the fact that I don't know the answer to that. I find it completely expected that I would not know the answer.
You shouldn't. I don't think anybody should. To your point, if he's taking the process seriously, you should just take every day as it comes, and if you get better and if you feel like you're better, then you return to the floor. Now, the Grizzlies have kept the door wide open for a return this year. I think the messaging from their end is very clear that they're and maybe I'm wrong on this, maybe I'm offbeat, I'm sort of your thoughts, but it feels like they've left the messaging wide open for him to return.
I did think the fact that they first said two games but then said four games at least raises the expectations in people's mind that, oh, they're contemplating a return. Not in four games, surely this isn't going to be the rest of the year. When I saw the message, four more games, to me it suggested, okay, they're not expecting him to be out this year. Because if they were, you just say indefinitely, and then if you hope to get it back. Like that's what they said with Stephen Adams. It's sort of, we're going to kind of see how this goes and reevaluate in a long time from now. And so if in the end he doesn't come back in this year, I think we're going to look back at that four more games thing and say, what was that about? You know, like, what the hell was that about? Like, why not? So I think the fact that they said four more games suggests to me that there is, in fact, or at least at the moment that they made that statement, there was some expectation that he would come back this year. So I agree. If we're reading between the lines in terms of their messaging, they at least have, intentionally or not, it seems to me, raised the notion that he might be back this year.
Yeah, and the Mark Spears thing is just interesting to me because he opened it up by saying, there's things I'm hearing that I'd rather not say on this podcast. I don't know. And he's a very well-plugged-in guy. I like Mark Spears. I think he's really good at what he does. But I have questions about where he's actually getting that information because it doesn't seem like John Morant's camp is saying all that much.
You can make the argument that saying that is – I mean, again, it's just a – I don't mind him saying that. But you can make an argument that either say what you know or don't say it.
So I agree.
The only unfortunate part of the phrasing was I think he said – I think this is right. I'm hearing some bad things, and I don't know what bad would be in that context. Like, does whatever, if you heard that someone, I'll take Ja out of it for a minute, but if you heard that someone, you know, had a addiction problem and was working on it, is that a bad thing? Or is that a, I don't know. Yeah. Like, so what is a bad thing? And so, but in the end, I say lots of words on the radio, too many, really, for my own taste.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I'm with you.
Every word is not precisely, particularly in print, most of the words I write, I think about them, I muse over them, I can go over them two or three times before I hit publish. But when you're talking...
Live radio is a beast, though.
So, yeah, so if Mark said something that I'm not going to get upset about Mark Spears, and he is plugged in, so he does tend to hear things. So,
for sure.
I think that's fine.
Talking with Jeff Calkins, Daily Memphian, Jeff Calkins Show. So this David Roddy, these two games have been fun. I mean, he's lapped Zaire in the rotation. That's no surprise. He's done a better job than John Contra, especially offensively, and defensively he's definitely got some things he could do. But he's intriguing because he really doesn't have a specific position, and he can fill in the holes, I think, from a rotational standpoint, and that's been cool to see.
Yeah, he's also fun.
Yeah.
I want to start there. He's fun, right? Just because he's shaped like that, right? So he's just like in this team of odd-shaped people, Des Bain with his short arms and you know, like, and it's the giant that is Steven Adams. Like, it's, and then you've got David Roddy, who's got the perfect nickname, and he's got a fun guy. He's exuberant. He's energetic. And so, yes, he has a fun game. From his first press conference, I wanted him to be a success because he's sort of self-effacing. He has a sense of humor about himself. He hasn't traveled some great, privileged, you know, five-star road to stardom. So just as a story, I like him. And as a personality, I like him. And now it's nice that as a basketball player, we get to increasingly like him. And I do think, as Chris Harrington pointed out on my show today, part of the reason, there's a lot of reasons, I think, for his recent success. One is that, you know, confidence is part of it. He has a role. He's whatever. But I think some of it also is that given Steven Adams' absence and given Brandon Clark's absence, he's able to play some sort of, you know, the sort of burly, undersized four as opposed to a wing. And is he a true wing? It felt like that was the role that they had imagined for him. That's really was getting his minutes earlier. And now he's in a role that might be more suited to him. But, you know, it's also true that in the last two games, he's just hit shots, you know?
Yes, true.
And that, and
against
and
a bad defense, a very bad defense.
Against the Dallas Mavericks. So that's good. But I mean, to the most, he shot well from three his last year in college. So it's not unheard of that he would shoot well from three. It is kind of remarkable. Once upon a time, we had gotten to a point where we just thought every Grizzlies draft pick was going to be a star, right? Like, oh, they picked him. He's going to be great. And now we're like, all right, what's wrong with the damn Grizzlies? What's wrong with the – what happened to their draft department? Because Zaire obviously hasn't been a success to this point. And there are players picked behind him who you're like, whoa, that kid in New Orleans is pretty good. Why don't we have him? We could have just sat where we were. And Jake LaRavia obviously hasn't to this point worked out, and so it's also refreshing to see him. Oh, maybe they got another hit, and it's also a reminder to me that like it's why last week when various folks were proclaiming the season over, you never know what's going to happen. You're never going to know who's going to emerge, and maybe I'm not saying the Ja thing is a good thing, but it's possible that in his absence, if we see the emergence of David Roddy, if we see some of the renewal and confidence of Dylan Brooks, we've seen, I think, a better Dylan Brooks recently.
Yep.
You know, maybe those are things that when Ja comes back, the team will ultimately be better for it.
It's, you know, you say we've seen a better Dylan Brooks, and like, I guess there's, yes. He hasn't been turning the ball over. He's been offensively still inefficient. I mean, he's 7-for-19 last night. But it is funny.
What did he hit from three last night?
4-for-11. But it is funny to me.
Jeff. 4-for-11 is pretty good.
Now, yes.
He missed wildly sometimes.
Yes.
But
the step back with the blowing the kiss was fantastic. He's leaning into his heel roll. But it is funny how much winning and losing affects how the fan base and how we view Dylan Brooks.
Well, that's true, but it's also...
If he shot 7-for-19, even if he had 19 points in a loss, we'd be like, okay, well,
you know,
Was it enough? Right.
No, you're right. The winning shapes it, and it also fits. You know, when he did what he did against Golden State, emerging as, you know, really embracing the heel role and then playing very effective defense anyway that game, I think you're reminded, okay, that's why back when the fan base used to really like Dylan Brooks, that's why they really liked Dylan Brooks, was that dude. And if he could just irritate the hell out of people, we could embrace that, you know, even more. So, no, I'm not proclaiming Dylan Brooks having turned the efficiency corner here. I'm not saying that has happened. But I do think he is playing better than he was a month ago.
Yeah. Talking with Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian, also from the Jeff Calkins Show. We have two. I think it's weird. I brought this up last week with Bennett. Like, when we look at the college basketball hiring cycle, we have Chris Beard officially at Ole Miss, Will Wade at McNeese State, and we could potentially have Rick Pitino take a step up, whether it's St. John's, George, whatever it is. I think that's going to be an interesting part. Did you see the Will Wade situation where McNeese State decided to hire him and then ultimately suspend him 5 games? Does that make any remote sense to you?
Isn't that just the best? Hire him and suspend him?
Yeah.
It's you know what? To me, it's hope for all of us that, you know, you can screw up, and if you're good at your job, that's important. If you're good at your job, you will be given a second chance. And so the Will Wade one is particularly, you know, I don't know. The Chris Beard one is egregious. Literally not having to, you know, getting another job in a Power 5 conference. Like, that's kind of, it does a little bit.
By the way, $3.25 million a year.
Right. You feel like, in terms of just a sense of justice, he should have to pay a price, right? And I think the reason that it irritates people, the Chris Beard thing, is that he doesn't appear to have paid any real meaningful. It's a step down to go from Texas to Ole Miss, but yes, $3.25 million is not a huge burden that he's going to have to be saddled with going forward. So I think it offends people's sense of, did he do his time? You know, he got out free and he didn't do his time. The Will Wade thing, at least, let's be honest, he is taking a big step down.
Yes, huge.
And
I agree.
He is now having to do his time even going forward. So, you know, I actually like that better than the Chris Beard one. You know, I think that one is, in fact. And then, I don't know. Pitino.
We'll see.
Pitino has certainly put in. He's done it. Like, he had to take a huge step down. So, I think the most egregious one of those three, honestly, is the Chris Beard one.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And but here's the thing, and we've talked about this in the past. It does, there still is that thought from the Ole Miss side of, well, damn, this is the only time you're going to be able to capitalize on getting a guy like this. And that's unfortunate as hell. It's unfortunate as hell, and it's gross in a lot of ways. It's about winning versus what we care about with someone's personality and their past. But, I mean, if I'm Ole Miss, yes, I blame them for making this hire considering the circumstances that got Chris Beard fired at Texas. But I don't blame them from a basketball perspective.
Well, here you go. There are, I'm not disparaging this at all, but there are Memphis Tiger football players, right, who ended up as Memphis Tiger football players because they had a ding against them that for something, whether it was misbehavior of some type or whether it was academic or something, and so Memphis is like, we'll take them, you know, like, and I'm not disparaging that either, but that idea that if you are a place, you know, you can't just shop at, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue, you got to go to the second bin a little bit, you know, and say, and that's where Ole Miss is in basketball. It's just true. That's where they are in basketball. They can't get a Chris Beard, a non-dinged up Chris Beard. But if you got a dinged up Chris Beard, have I got a deal for you? You know, like, it's like that's the one they can get. And it's the same thing with, it seems to me, you know, Memphis has a bunch of football players who got in trouble, whatever, in an SEC school and had a second chance at Memphis. And so that's good. I mean, it is how the world works, I guess, is what I'd say.
Yeah. Now, last thing for you, last thing for Jeff Calkins, columnist of Daily Memphian, the host of the Jeff Calkins Show. Is Kendrick Davis, like, is there I don't want to say disrespect because I don't think it's there, but is there sort of a lack of attention being paid to him when it comes to these All-American sort of voting these situations. He only gets into the honorable mention of the AP, third team, the Sporting News. Should he have ultimately been higher on those lists?
I think so, but I also think, honestly, I really don't think it's about a disrespect of Kendrick as much as right. it is the conference and the league.
Right.
I mean, the conference and the program. You know, so there are not many, you know, Marcus Sasser, because they're the number one team, treated differently. But if Kendrick were doing what he were doing, let's be honest, at Alabama or wherever,
right.
and he would, by the way, be doing what he's doing because that's what he does,
yep.
I think he'd be treated differently. It's to me, it's the bias against the conference. And so, yes, because of that, I think he absolutely is should be an All-American, but there you go. I think that's why.
I hear you. Jeff, you go ahead and get to it, man. Appreciate
Thanks.
You joining. We'll talk tomorrow. Bye-bye. Jeff Calkins, @Jeff_Calkins on Twitter, columnist of the Daily Memphian and host of the Jeff Calkins Show. Now, we just talked about Kendrick Davis. We do have to discuss some Tigers on the other side. And Penny Hardaway joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. And there's some interesting quotes that came about. And we'll talk about those on the other side. Ben and I will break them down right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Again on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Gabe Kuhn here for FanDuel Sportsbook. This March, take a shot at college hoops with a no-sweat bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. Right now, all customers can tip off the tourney with a no-sweat bet. Just sign into your FanDuel Sportsbook account to claim yours today. Or if you're new to FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. $100K to get in on the action. Then you can bet it on everything from the money line to point spreads to that 5 versus 12 seed matchup that you've been eyeing, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. There's no better place to bet the tournament than FanDuel Sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. Again, that's FanDuel.com/GABEK to join now or sign into your FanDuel Sportsbook account to claim your no-sweat bet today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus bet $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. So the Tigers don't play until Friday at 8:20 against FAU. It'll be a late tip, of course, 8-9 game there. And when we look at that game, it'll be a future conference game. It's going to be one that the Tigers can't look past. Penny Hardaway spoke on that today, and he sort of discussed that this FAU team is very, very capable. Shoot the three ball well, do a lot of things well, and have a big man at 7'1", Vladislav Golden, that can certainly cause some issues. But Penny Hardaway also joined KJM this morning, joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And he had a lot of things to sort of discuss with them, and I thought they did a really good job with it. In this first sound I want to play, it's really about what he thought of this year and what he has done at Memphis so far, and he's sort of talking about what he has accomplished.
Well, you know how I feel like I'm always going to be judged harshly, and you have to have time to build your squad, and you know that. I feel like I've done some wonderful things here at the university. No, we haven't made it to the NCAA as much as we wanted to, but again, I'm building. We're right where we need to be. We're pushing forward. We're winning championships, and we're in the tournament this year. So you know, we'll just push forward with that.
Yeah, and I we have talked about it. I think he's right on point with it. There was always a process that he had to go through. I mean, you never coach at the college level, and you have to learn as you go along. And I don't know if at the beginning, especially considering how he got the job, there's a lot of guys that have to build up through the ranks. There's a lot of guys that have to earn their stripes, that sit on the end of benches for years. I mean, honestly, it's kind of funny. Obviously, Mark Adams is no longer at Texas Tech, but that's a guy who had to sit on benches in terrible places for years and years and years to get where he ultimately wanted to go. Penny Hardaway didn't have to go through that process. So I tend to agree with his thought process about there's a lot of people out there that were going to be detractors from the beginning that felt a certain type of way about him and his program. I think that's changed in certain people's eyes, but I certainly think that's still there. And there was always going to be a learning process going from that quick of a jump. And I feel like people ignored that a lot toward the beginning. I really do feel that way. Now, also, this is probably the more important thing considering where we are in the season. We're toward the end of it. You don't know, any day could be their last day. I mean, it's win or go home. And then you have to look forward to an off season, and you have to understand what Penny Hardaway's thought process is on going into the off season and how he has learned to build his roster. This is what he had to say.
Well, I think that, you know, not trying to, you know, bash anybody. It's just the egos right now. You know, when you have all the five stars, they're ready. They're trying to be one and done. They want their numbers to look a certain way. It's not all about the team. This year is all about the team, the makeup of the team. Everyone knows that DeAndre Williams and Kendrick Davis are the guys, and the rest of the guys are very comfortable with that and willing to star in their roles.
Now,
who's he talking about there?
That's the interesting part, though, going into this next offseason, going into next season with this team, is you've gone from the polls. You have one team that's completely young. You have one team that's old as hell. That is just all seniors. That you basically have no returners besides theoretical returners besides Jonathan Lawson on. You're going to go straight into, from that team, into Mikey Williams, J.J. Taylor, Ashton Hardaway, Tylor Johnson, David Tubek, Carl Sharenfant, like all these four-star, top 100 type guys. Like that transition's going to be interesting. But, I mean, you see sort of the beginnings of what he wants to do. There's some guys on this roster that could potentially return. I know that Chandler Lawson is up for return. Malcolm Dandridge is up for return if he would like to use that extra year. Both those guys were part of Senior Day festivities, so you sort of wonder. But even today, he goes out, and I believe there's a – he's talking with Nick Timberlake from Towson, a guard who scored 18 points a game at Towson, one of the best three-point shooters in the country. So he's going to have to fill in those sort of blanks there. He's going to have to fill in those margins with older guys, and I'm sort of wondering how that looks for him and how he manages those young guys when you have to get those guys to play a role, those older guys to play a role, and it may be a larger one than those young guys expect.
Yeah, for sure. I am excited to see just, you know, how the – he's going to use the transfer portal again. He's proven that he's good at that. It will be interesting to see the mix of the young guys and the older guys, going into next season, because you would assume that's going to be different than any kind of roster that he's had before here, where it's been either or, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I know this is just beaten to death, like this point I'm about to make, but that's how you win in college basketball. You have to manage it. You have to mix and match. You can't just, all old guys tends to work, but all those freshmen and trying to bring them along as the season goes along just tends not to work. And, there's certain situations where it has, but I don't think you want to corner yourself into doing that. Ultimately, Penny Hardaway seems to have turned a corner this year, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion, with just sort of the mindset behind how he's running the show. And I think you have to be blind to not notice that. It's just the expectation game, not playing it too much. Now, other people can play it, but Penny Hardaway has stayed out of that. And as small as that sounds, Bennett, that's a massive step. That's a huge step. The first three and a half years were very, that was on him, the expectations that were created and not reaching those and all of the things that ultimately were said about him. I think that he can even say that, and he's admitted mm-hmm. that in the past, that he put too much pressure on himself to compete right out of the gate, when that's just not how this thing works. You have to learn how to win. But I think ultimately he has learned that putting those expectations, placing them, doesn't necessarily do you a whole bunch of good.
Yeah, and I thought that was cool what you just – like he mentioned – I don't know the exact quote, but, he kind of mentioned after they won the AAC tournament that he didn't necessarily, appreciate that as much early on, right? Like when he was talking about winning championships and stuff like that, and you could really tell that –
he thought it was going to come easy.
That's right. Maybe early on winning an AAC tournament wasn't that big a deal, but you could obviously see with the emotion, and he was very emotional after they won it and when they were hoisting the trophy, that it does matter. And I thought that was pretty cool just to see him be kind of humble in that moment admit this does matter. Winning this conference does matter. It is a big deal.
And part of that, too, he's won a lot of games. He's won 20 games a year, and I get that.
Yep.
But this experience has had to be humbling to a certain extent, right? There's no doubt about it. You have all these expectations. You have James Wiseman get busted immediately on your first recruiting class. You have all these different things that have gone wrong. Imani Bates doesn't work out. You're a preseason top 10 team, and you fall all the way out and don't even make the tournament. That's a humbling experience. And that's why you see the emotions come out in that moment. But I'm curious how next year goes, because theoretically, I think this year has been a good example of why you want experienced guys to be on ball in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Experienced guys to be handling and facilitating and setting up offense and doing all these things. Next year, I think it's going to be a little bit of, he's a very talented guy, but I think it'll be trial and error with Mikey Williams running the show. Yeah. And he's going to have to be the guy who runs the show, because he is an on-ball guard. He's a point guard.
Yeah.
And Penny's going to give him that responsibility.
For sure. One thing that I'm not going to be humble about is I don't want a new rivalry with FAU. I'm sorry. please win this game. Because that's what it's going to – if we lose this game –
and then go into conference play, bragging rights.
Go into conference play against them next season. No, I do not want that. I'm sorry. No.
Oh, Florida Atlantic.
Just win that game. Please win that game.
Oh, and Dusty May, how long is he going to be there?
I don't.
Too? When are they going to be good
right.
again?
Well, that's the other thing, too, is if Florida Atlantic wins that game, their coach is out of there.
Yeah, for sure. He might be gone anyway.
Yeah. No, I obviously you want rivals in your new look conference next season and everything like that, but no, I'm good, man. I just, whatever happens in the tournament, this season was wildly successful. No one's going to argue
fully
that.
I agree.
No one's going to argue with that. But, man, if they lose in the first round to freaking FAU.
You know what's
and
funny?
And I know they've had a good season. I'm just saying, dude, it would be kind of.
Yeah, you're saying if you lost to West Virginia, you'd feel almost better about it.
Literally any of those other eight. Nine, we talked about nine. It yesterday. Literally any of those other 8-9 seeds I could stomach losing to.
So let's go through them. Let's go through them really quick. Seriously. So you feel okay about losing to Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Illinois,
Arkansas,
yep.
Iowa, Auburn. You feel okay about all of those?
I would literally be okay with any of that. Yeah. Losing to FAU, I don't think I can handle
but
that.
But here's the thing. I think ultimately when you just look at the season as a whole, even if they do lose to FAU in that first round, I mean, I don't know how you chalk it up as anything other than just absolute damn success.
It does make me cringe watching people talk about Memphis versus Purdue because I am sitting here like, you got a game to win Friday. Like, we do not need to be talking about Memphis's matchup with Purdue. We need to win Friday.
But we can. We can talk about
it. I guess,
man. That's what we do.
That makes me nervous. I don't like that.
Yeah, as long as the team's
not there. It feels like bad juju doing that.
Based on the Penny Hardaway presser today, it feels like the focus is
– They're locked in on
FAU. And that's how you have to do it in the NCAA tournament. Looking ahead becomes a dangerous, dangerous, mm-hmm. awful game to play. I guess if you're a 1 seed versus 16 seed, you can do a little bit of a look ahead.
Sure.
But, at that point, we saw UMBC.
We've
seen it happen. We've seen it happen. But then UVA turned around the next year and won a national championship.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll see crazy upsets this year. Like, it's hopefully it ain't us.
Yeah. I agree with your sentiment because FAU, I mean, that's a.
They've only lost 3 games. And I know they haven't played anybody, but still, that's a. They owned their conference.
The thought process behind matching up with them is interesting, though, too, because, I mean, you're going to have to absolutely try to funnel everything to their big man. You don't want them shooting the ball. They take and make a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 5 guards that can go take and make a lot. And that's the biggest issue with this team. But I think ultimately when you just look at how both these teams are set up and how they go get their points, how they are defensively, Memphis is clearly the better defensive team. I've watched FAU a little bit of them. Just athleticism-wise, they're not on that same level. They're just not. And outside of their big man, they don't have a whole lot of height and beef and strength. So I just think ultimately the Tigers, you don't want to look ahead. Because this is going to be a tough game, but I think the Tigers can out-athlete them and make them uncomfortable for 40 minutes, at least on the offensive end.
Yeah.
And I think the appetizer for it is watching how good defensively the Tigers were in the conference tournament from start to finish. They're fantastic. Yeah. And I think they hadn't really played like that to that point, but you finally saw it. You saw them break through there. So that was cool to see. Now, we have talked about the AP All-American team. We've really talked about Kendrick Davis not being on it, being honorable mention. But AP All-American did release today. Zach Edey was the only unanimous selection, so he was unanimous in getting picked for the All-American team. And 22 points, 13 boards a game. Tigers potentially could have a second-round matchup against him. That's going to be tough. But Trace Jackson Davis, Jalen Wilson, Marcus Sasser, and Brandon Miller rounded out the first team. I still, the Marcus Sasser thing, love Marcus Sasser, but I mean, the credit he has gotten for that team's success is a whole lot to me. Second team was Drew Timmy, Azulis Tubelis from Arizona, Jalen Pickett from Penn State, Jaime Jaquez from UCLA, and Oscar Shibwe. And then the third and final team, I thought this was really cool to see because I do respect the hell out of what Jerome Tang's been able to do. And, of course, I mean, how could you forget Keontae Johnson and how far he's come to get back on the floor? But both of the guards from Kansas State get a third-team nods. Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson. Big East Player of the Year, Tyler Kolick from Marquette gets the nod. And then Chris Murray from Iowa, Armando Bacot from North Carolina, even though that's bizarre to me that North Carolina gets a nod in the AP All-American.
I mean, what do you think about them turning down the NIT? We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, whatever. I think it's kind of
– I think it's elitist.
I think it's sad.
It's elitist.
I think it's trash, but, I mean, I knew they were going to do it. You knew they were going to do it.
Sure.
There was just no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I can understand, but I think it's elitist.
It makes, yeah, I and you would think.
Accept your fate.
You would think that, like, okay, it's been a bad season. Let's go try and win the NIT championship and turn around. I do think there's a point to be made about, okay, even if they do win the NIT championship, it's not like they're going to be some – no one's going to throw a parade for them. People right. are just going to continue to talk about how they were number one in the AP poll to start the year and failed miserably and had to end up in the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I think it's very elitist. But, again, is it unsurprising in any way?
Not really.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most unsurprising thing. The one thing that was ridiculous to me is Tulane – didn't get the invite while UCF did.
Yeah.
Did that make any sense to
no.
you? That's confusing. I mean, if you even just like we watched the AAC, we got to see the Tigers play both of those teams. Tulane finished third in the AAC, 12-6 in conference, 20-11 overall. UCF 8-10 in conference, 18-14 overall. I mean, what am I missing?
I think honestly the only explanation I could come up with there is the brand. It's the NIT just thinks that's UCF's a bigger brand, and so right. it's better for our TV numbers, right?
Now, okay, sure, it may be better for your TV numbers, but how much better? It's not like people are really falling over themselves to go watch the NIT.
It just doesn't make much sense.
And honestly, I almost wonder if Tulane – no, I mean, UCF would be better for Tulane. UCF would have been better for numbers, and Tulane would have gone – but Tulane's not used to being in this position. They're not used to playing any postseason tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
For them to get in, I think their fans would be pretty hyped up about that, whereas UCF has higher aspirations than that year to year.
Right.
But I still think just fan base to fan base. UCF has how many undergrad? Like 70,000?
Yeah.
Massive. They'll get eyes on it. They'll get eyes on it. But I found that weird. But, yes, North Carolina overall, very elitist.
Yeah.
They had higher aspirations for where they wanted this year to go. There's no doubt about that. No doubt at all. Now let's go ahead and get to a break. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour with Small Talk.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis' college basketball station. The best college hoops and stories in Memphis live on 92.9 FM ESPN. Memphis' hoops place.
There's no better time to hit the court for some exciting college basketball action. Download the BetMGM app today and bet during the wildest month of the year with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That's 1-800-889-9789. 9789.
This is Gary Parrish, and you've heard me talk about Dr. Matty Sadeghi and his staff for years now. They run the Smile Center. It's where my whole family goes. We're fortunate. Our insurance covers it. But Dr. Matty understands not everybody is fortunate enough to have dental insurance, and that's why he's created the membership plan at the Smile Center. It's an in-office insurance plan for patients who do not have dental insurance. So if you fall under that umbrella, please get in touch with the Smile Center. Dr. Matty and his entire staff have been vaccinated, so it's a safe environment. The address is 1941 South Germantown Road in Germantown near Saddle Creek, 901-309-1333. Online, SmileCenterMemphis.com.
This responsible gaming message is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. When you play the lottery, it's important to play responsibly. Know your limit and spend only what you can afford. Set a budget and stick to it. And remember, as long as you're having fun, you're always a winner in our book. The Tennessee Lottery is a proud supporter of National Problem Gambling Awareness Month. To learn more about problem gambling resources, visit tnlottery.com.
The winter blues are almost behind us. We can't wait to get out of the house and be more active. It all sounds great, but your achy joints don't agree. Well, it's time to do something about that. Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. Stop with the steroids. Stop with the possible surgery chatter. Now there's a better way to get lasting relief. It's QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. This exciting approach uses healing properties from your own body, highly concentrated, and then placed directly in your achy joint. It can restore and repair that damaged tissue and get you moving again without pain. Knee pain, back pain, shoulder pain, hip pain. The patient satisfaction reports are incredible, and there's no downtime. Learn more about this wildly popular all-natural alternative way to get lasting pain relief. No surgery, no drugs. The call is free. The consultation is free. You've got nothing to lose. Timing is perfect, so you can enjoy the best time of the year coming up. Call QC Kinetics now at 901-445-1010. That's 901-445-1010.
Q
QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in regenerative medicine.
Ooh-wee, the Grizz are on fire this year, John.
And they aren't the only team on fire.
You're right about that. The team at Topps just launched a limited-time offer. Get this, Topps Fire-Braised Chicken with Memphis White Sauce.
Whole chicken, seared over an open flame, piled high on a Topps bun, and drizzled with a special Memphis White Sauce that's creamy and tangy with a little Memphis kick.
Put the Topps Fire-Braised Chicken with Memphis White Sauce in your starting lineup today.
Available now at Topps Poplar, State Line and Fraser locations, and more to come.
Come celebrate the savings with Goss at Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike. It's Ram Truck Month and the Jeep Celebration event, so we're ready to rock. 2022 Jeep Renegade, $5,000 off. 2022 Dodge Charger, $6,000 off. And 2023 Grand Cherokee El Dorado with third row seating, $7,000 off. Plus 2022 Fiat 500X, $4,000 off. Goss at Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike says you won't find a better deal anywhere else. And if we don't have it, Gossett will order it today. So drive past the rest and come to the best at Gossett on the Pike or shop online at GossettMotorCars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
Fiat 500X, NP98268, MSRP 30,950, Renegade, NPN95921, MSRP 32130, Charger number NH261941, MSRP 35630, Cherokee, PH79.4494, MSRP 46765. Includes all rebates and incentives, excludes tax time and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 3/31/23, dealer stock only.
BetMGM is offering basketball fans a chance at winning big. Really, really big. The BetMGM March Matchups $10 million Perfect Bracket Challenge is free to play and fun to dream about. And it's only at the King of Sportsbooks. Pick a perfect bracket, and you'll be the legend that takes home the $10 million grand prize. Fall a little short? The player with the most correct picks for the entire tournament wins a guaranteed top prize of $100,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, as well as complete details. Must be 21 years of age or older to enter. Tennessee only. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. That's 1-800-889-9789.
Every piece of land has a story. Some right there is behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor, like the Upshaws.
This is my tractor, Penny. It's all about attention to detail.
But the Nelsons love cruising around their expansive Montana ranch in their John Deere Gator UV.
We've been here since 1868.
While the Caggianos drive a John Deere zero-turn mower to keep their Long Island brewery looking sharp.
Don't call me, don't bother me. I'm going out to mow for a couple hours.
Run with us and start telling your story. Learn more at johndeere.com/radio.
People who come to Cricut stay with Cricut, just like our customer, Christine.
I'm a director and a performer. I got a free phone from Cricut, and I've used it to live stream 73 of my shows on social media.
How do you like it?
It's fabulous!
Switch to Cricut and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 5G. Smile, you're on Cricut.
Real customer paid for testimonial limited time. Must bring your number to Cricut on a $60 a month. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Phone streams, video, and SD. Cricut 5G is not available everywhere. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See CricutWireless.com for details.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM, yeah. ESPN.
Hey, hit records on my demo. Did y'all boys not get the memo? I do not stay at the Intercontinental. And anything I got is not a rental. I own that mom.
Still plenty to come on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Christian Fowler will join in just about 8 minutes to talk about the Tigers. A lot of Tigers. We have to talk about their matchup against FAU, what their potential matchup versus Purdue will look like. Obviously, he's from Bluff City Media. 6:30, we'll hop into the Blitz. 6:50, we get into the Rewind. But right now, let's hop into Small Talk.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
All right, we're doing TV talk today. Okay. TV talk all today, right. And I think everybody, I mean, if you watch HBO, if you're into HBO shows, you know where I'm going to go with this. The Last of Us, Episode 9, the season finale was on Sunday. And ultimately, we wrapped up the season in general. What, I mean, first I'll ask you, and then I'll take the floor. What were your ultimate thoughts of season one of The Last of Us?
Loved the show.
Right.
I'm definitely in on it.
I'm in.
Thought that the finale was left a little to be desired. Yeah. I thought that it was very anticlimactic.
I'd say, I mean, overall, I'm probably 8.5 out of 10. I thought the storytelling was fantastic, although episode to episode, I don't know if it necessarily tied in and added to the story. But I think the storytelling was fantastic. It's obviously based on a video game that I didn't play, so the people that played the video game are going to feel a lot more strong about trying to stick to the script according to said video game. But the one thing I'd say, besides episode 5, when they were escaping from Kansas City, I don't know if they really highlighted the whole the danger aspect of it. Highlighted the clickers, highlighted the zombies, if you will, in general. Like, there wasn't a big... The action was minimal. And I know in the video game, there was a hell of a lot of action. I think that's where they fell short in that regard. But I'm fully in. Ready to go.
I mean, I think it's a big enough success that they're going to have probably have a bigger budget for next season and be able to do some more things. So, yeah, I'm in. But, I don't know. Finale was all right.
It was.
It was fine.
Yeah, you wait for the big payoff, and that payoff never came. I mean, I guess there was action, though.
Yeah.
There was some action. Yeah. Now, also, are we into the Sterling affairs? Doc Rivers is going to be played by Lawrence Fishburne.
I saw the casting.
Are we into it?
Okay, so I didn't watch...
It's an FX show, too.
It's an FX show. Okay, so this is the same... kind of thing that they did with, like, the OJ show.
Yes.
And all that. It's that same series, kind
Correct.
Of. I saw the casting. I thought, Lawrence Fishburne's a great actor, so I'm cool with that. I think he'll do a good job as Doc. I wasn't familiar with a lot of the other actors. Like, the dude who played Blake Griffin, I was like, that guy looks nothing like Blake Griffin at all.
I mean, Lawrence Fishburne to Doc Rivers isn't that close.
No, I mean, you got to get like a big time actor to play him. So I get the move there. I'll check it out. I'll check it out. I didn't watch.
It feels like one that I could go in, watch, and then maybe give up on very quickly.
That's right. Like, one thing about me, man, is like, I know that I'm like on a sports talk station and have been doing this for a long time, but like, I'm not like the biggest sports like movie TV show guy.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, one of my favorite movies ever is Remember the Titans. So like,
right.
I love Rudy and some of the big ones.
I think
love.
Rudy's overrated.
But like, I didn't watch the Lakers one that everybody liked that was on HBO.
Yeah, Winning Time.
Yeah, Did you watch that?
Yeah, I did.
Was it good?
It's cool.
It was fine. Yes, I just it's hard for me to.
I think the hype was overdone.
It's hard for me to get fired up for stuff like that. I don't know why.
Yeah, but we have Lawrence Fishburne set to star as Doc Rivers in the Sterling Affairs. And by the way, I think this is cool.
I'll give it a shot.
Ramona Shelburne is actually on the books for this because she did all of the reporting around the Donald Sterling
fallout. She
actually
came on the show to talk about it. Yeah.
So yeah, Ramona Shelburne is going to be a big part of this because her reporting is ultimately what caused this all to trickle down and happen. Now we have to go ahead and get to a break. On the other side, we have some Tiger Talk with Christian Fowler.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, celebrating a legacy of sports as the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. Always live on the Odyssey app and on smart speakers. Say play 92.9 ESPN.
Hello, this is Joe Cordell. Divorce touches all areas of your life. Family, friends, career, retirement. Few things in life affect so much. At Cordell & Cordell, we have a lot of experience protecting these interests for clients across America. In the process, we've come to know our clients pretty well. If you're a guy facing divorce, your chief concern, if you have kids, is to preserve your role in their lives. As to assets, you probably prefer tax-deferred savings over cash, and you likely would rather give up an asset than to pay maintenance. Also, lest you think we didn't notice, you want to pay as little to divorce lawyers as possible. Look, Cordell & Cordell can be successful only if our clients walk away feeling good about us. That means they feel not only that the result was the best possible in the circumstances, but also that their attorney fees were both reasonable and affordable. If this seems right to you, then let us be the partner that you count on.
Schedule an appointment with one of 38119, CordellCordell.com.
Mom, Dad,
Sis?
Here we go again.
Why are you in a suit?
Picture, if you will, a world with the best network imaginable. I'm talking about the Xfinity 10G network.
Go on.
Mom, remember how your reality shows wouldn't load with all of us online? Now you can binge. And Susie, we'll have fast internet in the basement.
Nice.
If you have any questions, here's my card.
This is just your name on a gum wrapper.
Introducing the 10G network only from Xfinity. The future starts now. Now through March 21st, new customers can get 200 megabit Xfinity internet during our limited-time Xfinity 10G network launch celebration for just $25 a month for 2 years. Plus, there's no annual contract required, and you get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com/10G, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and devices. Actual speeds vary.
Make today more interesting with Bet.ly's online sports betting action. You can bet on pro and college games with Bet.ly, the only online sports book in Arkansas and Tennessee. And right now, every new customer can cash in on a $250 risk-free first bet. Download the Bet.ly Sportsbook app now in the Apple and Google Play Store or visit Bet.ly.com. With Bet.ly, every game matters.
Must be 21 or older and located in Arkansas or Tennessee to bet. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
I had a nighttime routine for my frequent heartburn. I would drink milk, I would sleep upright with more pillows, but that painful burning stayed. So I made Prilosec OTC part of my morning routine with just one pill each morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.